Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Well, here come the Bickersons. The same old Bickersons, but with a new twist. Still starring Don Ameche and Francis Langford, but now for our comedy enjoyment, Frank Morgan. This is the first show that we have of the 1947-48 season. There is also a new sponsor, Old Gold Cigarettes. And with Danny Thomas hosting his own show that 47-48 season, they brought in Frank Morgan for the comedic relief. Now, the dates I'm able to come up with for this season's worth of shows are somewhat sketchy. We know they all happened during that 1947-1948 season, but please allow me a little wiggle room in these dates because I'm getting conflicting details on when these things exactly aired. This episode that we're going to listen to is called House Call, and as far as I can tell, it originally aired on November 19th, 1947.
From Hollywood, it's Old Gold Cigarette time.
Treat yourself to Old Gold. If you want a treat instead of a treatment, treat yourself to Old Gold. If you want a treat instead of a treatment, treat yourself. Treat yourself. Treat yourself to Old Gold.
If you want a treat instead of a treatment, treat yourself to a pack of Old Golds. Marvin Miller, ladies and gentlemen, speaking for the makers of Old Gold Cigarettes, who are pleased to present the ninth in a series of new programs starring Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's lovable Frank Morgan, the genial Don Ameche, and charming Francis Langford, with music by Carmen Dragon and his orchestra. Later in the program, you'll hear the Old Gold Special, a new and unreleased Columbia record performed in person by the artists who created it. Tonight, it's the Modern Airs. Right now, here's Francis Langford, who sings... your host for the evening, Don Ameche.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight...
Carmen!
I'm sorry, Don. I got so excited I couldn't even wait. I have a wonderful idea for a guest.
Must be good. Who is it, Carmen?
Well, the guest I have in mind may not be so new or different, but he sure is interesting. That is, if you're interested in what he does.
Well, who is he?
Now I'm scared.
Scared?
Yeah, I'm scared, yeah.
Yeah.
Does he have to be an important person like a senator or a bookmaker?
Well, what's so important about a senator?
Carmen, who's the guest?
Well, it came to me in a flash. Right now it's football season, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, why don't we get a ballet dancer?
I don't get it.
Well, all I meant is we should be different. Football is too common. You tune in the radio to a football game and what do you hear? Football. Am I right, Francis?
Yeah, I think so. No.
Carmen, have you got a ballet dancer?
What's the matter with George Balanchine?
Well,
He's the world's greatest ballet master and choreographer.
He sounds wonderful. Can't we get him, Don?
Oh, I don't know. Do you think the ballet appeals to the common people, Carmen?
Oh, sure. My whole family loves it, and we're the commonest people in the world. All my kids take dancing lessons. They put on a wonderful ballet in school last week, Animal World.
Did you see it?
Uh-huh. I sat with Eloise and we got hysterical. Our oldest boy looked like a goat, the second one had a trunk like an elephant, and when our third kid made his appearance with ears like a donkey, we gave up.
You should have given up after the first one, Herman.
Right.
I'd like to be there at feeding time. Who do you buy your hay from, Herman?
Oh, Frank, there's nothing wrong with his kids. They were just dressed in animal things for a ballet showing at school.
Oh, nothing on. Wrong kid. What about it?
Well, Carmen thought Balanchine, the ballet master, would make an interesting guest.
It's the most amazing thing how that... Oh, hello, my dear.
Hello.
Oh, what a bouncy little ballerina. I had no idea Balanchine was back at the Philharmonic. Is your ballet skirt too full, or are you wearing loose tights?
Right.
Dear, dear Balanchine, what a magnificent dancer. He was superb in the forest glade.
Superb.
For two acts, I watched him flit after the wood sprites. He used up three cans of flit and never caught one. Are you a member of his corps de ballet, my little sparrow?
No, I'm not.
Frank.
What?
What's the matter with you? Do you think this girl is going to fall for your nonsense? She wouldn't waste 5 minutes with you.
5 minutes with me wouldn't be wasted, Dodger.
Gentlemen, please.
Don't let the uncouth manners of this overdressed bumpkin put hands tonight.
Oh, I'm sure I am, but...
I have great influence with Balanchine, and as the calculating French say, l'amour force tout les serrures. Are you agreeable, ma petite chouchou?
Entre nous?
Well, it isn't new, but it's an entree.
Mr. Morgan, you're as wicked as you are handsome.
Oh, this is like taking candy from a baby. Run out and get some jelly beans, Dodger.
Why don't you stop acting like a fink, Morgan? It's time you realize this is Francis Langford, the old gold-featured singer.
Oh, Francis Goldfink. old features. Well, she has the perfect poise and abandon of the successful figurante. You're interested in dances, aren't you, Francis?
Very much.
Well, that's half the bottle. A battle. You'll make a wonderful adagio partner for me. 2 hours of wiggling out of my holes and catches, and you'll be on your toes in no time.
Now he's an adagio dancer.
We'll start with a few knee bends, then some back bends, and later on we'll do a little elbow bending. What time can you come for a lesson, my dear?
Well, really,
I'll expect you at 9. I have a quiet little studio in Coldwater Canyon right over the firehouse.
The firehouse?
Yes, bring your own matches. Toast. And some practice clothes. We'll have a little, shall we say, divertissement?
Francis, why do you keep encouraging him? Why don't you tell him once and for all?
Tell him what?
Mr. Morgan, I've tried to be tactful and let you know that I'm a happily married woman. I know your wife and I know my husband, and neither of them would condone your overtures if they found out. Furthermore, nobody but a complete idiot would accompany you to any studio, let alone dance with you, unless you had on a suit of armor and was surrounded by a cordon of police.
She knows my wife.
The rest is unimportant.
Good night, Mr. Morgan.
What a lissome creature. Pity she won't dance with me. Together we'd star in our own vehicle.
Your own vehicle?
Yes, she has such a graceful carriage, and I love to horse around. My dear boy, the girl has talent. Why shouldn't I give her the benefit of my 10 years' experience as the director of the Imperial Russian Ballet? Under my master...
Wait a minute now. You spent time in Russia?
Oh, are you serious, Parnell?
Parnell?
Before I left Russia, I was the choreographer and premier danseur, if you please, in sole charge of the corps of 200 beautiful ballerinas, all told.
But they all told?
Yes, that's why I had to leave. I moved to Vienna and opened a school of the dance.
Oh, stop it. School of the dance.
School of the...
You couldn't teach a nervous bullfrog to hop if you tickle his warts with an eel prong.
What?
There isn't a half-wit living who believe you could fake your way through a foxtrot.
Just a minute, Don. I'm living, and I believe Frank is the biggest faker in the world.
My dear Herman, your chronic gift for ill-timed intervention on my behalf is rapidly becoming intolerable. You have the blundering tact of a frightened polecat without his redeeming aroma. Put your tail down.
What a sweetheart. He always knows the right thing to say.
What's the matter with you, Carmen? He just called you a skunk.
I don't like to intrude, Don, but it seems to me you might show Mr. Morgan a little more courtesy.
Well, this is a refreshing interruption. You're George Balanchine, of course.
Pardon?
I imagine that costume you're wearing looks better on stage when you're able to pull in your proscenium and raise your backdrop. Do you always dance with your ballet behind you?
Oh, Frank, not again. This is Marvin Miller, not George Balanchine, and I wish you'd stop confusing him with every stray dog that walks in.
There's no confusion, Dodger. I can tell one stray dog from another. What kennel are you from, Mr. Mongrel?
Miller.
Finest dog trainer in California. Miller's pet store?
His name is Miller, and he's not from a pet store.
Well, he looks like he's had too many distemper shots. Take off your muzzle and let me feel your nose, Mr. Redheart.
Mr. Morgan, I don't want to bother you.
Well, you do, you know.
I'm sorry, but I heard you discussing the ballet before, and I'm a student of the dance myself. Yeah. I've tried the technique of Diaghilev and Nijinsky, but Pavlova fascinates me, and I've taken her dying swan to my bosom.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought you'd stuffed a goose under your vest.
All courtesy, huh, Miller?
Please, Don. Mr. Morgan, I know you're only jesting, but I'm having a little trouble with the positions.
Yeah.
I wonder if you'd help me.
No.
I've been working at a stretching bar for 6 months, and lately I've developed an awkward cabriole between my entrechat, and my collarbone protrudes in my arches.
Well, if you'll take a sitz bath twice a day, you'll soon get straightened out.
Enough yet, Marvin? I told you didn't know anything about ballet.
Poppycock. The Morgans have been ballet dancers for generations, beginning with my grandfather, Adagio Morgan, down to my uncle Split and my Aunt Pirouette.
Your Aunt Pirouette?
Yes, a lively old twister. Two drinks and she spun like a top.
What a wonderful family.
Yeah. They worked on my fouette and glissade, and before I was 9, I determined to bring something new to the ballet world.
Like what?
Like toe dancing without the use of toe shoes.
You mean you thought it was possible to do pirouettes on your toes without shoes?
I only thought not only that it was possible, but I accomplished it. Retiring to my studio, I built a cork floor to absorb the initial shock and began practicing in my bare feet. At first, it was difficult, but I soon strengthened my toes to such a point I was able to sustain a whirling pirouette for 12 minutes.
12 minutes?
Well, all right, 10. Impresarios began flocking to my studio, and I finally consented to give a performance at Her Majesty's Theater in London.
Yes?
Before leaving for the ballet, I decided to practice once more on my cork floor. So I removed my shoes and began the maddest, fastest, whirling pirouette on one toe I'd ever attempted. I revolved faster than an electric drill.
How did it go over in the theater?
I never got there.
Why not?
Well, I'd forgotten to cut my toenails, and I screwed myself into the floor.
Treat yourself to Old Gold's. If you want a treat instead of a treat, but treat yourself to Old Gold's. If you want a treat instead of a treat, but treat yourself to Old Gold's.
Remember, I told you so. When you smoke a pack of Old Gold's, remember, I told you that you simply cannot match the quality of an Old Gold cigarette.
There's something special about an Old Gold.
I'd like to make a friendly challenge. Smoke an Old Gold. Compare it with any other cigarette for smooth mildness, for rich taste, for deep down smoking pleasure. Then see if I'm not right when I say that the quality of an Old Gold cannot be duplicated, because no other cigarette in America has the quality traditions of an Old Gold. Listen.
For nearly 200 years, the makers of Old Gold cigarettes have been associated with quality tobaccos. And today, at Lorillard, this quality tradition is carried on by the world's foremost tobacco craftsmen, by men whose love of good tobaccos is combined with every scientific technique and safeguard to bring you a cigarette of utmost smoking pleasure.
There's something special about an Old Gold.
Yes, special Old Gold mildness, special Old Gold taste and richness. Smoke a pack of Old Golds. It's like I keep telling you, if you want a treat instead of a treatment,
treat yourself to Old Golds. If you want a treat instead of a treatment, treat yourself to Old Golds.
Old Gold presents the record preview of the week, the world premiere of a new and unreleased Columbia record reproduced for you in person by the artist who created it. This week, the label on the Old Gold Special bears the name of Columbia Recordings' crack vocal group, the Modernaires. So here is, ladies and gentlemen, the phonograph and jukebox hit of tomorrow, sung for you tonight by the Modernaires, Jingle Bell Polka. Jingle, children.
When the wind begins to blow and the weatherman says snow, that's the time to bundle up and get the sleigh.
Then you take a little ride with your sweetheart by your side, and you find you've got a lot of things to say. The jing, jing, jingly, jing of the bells makes the music. Clip, clip, clop, clippity, clop of the horse keeps the rhythm.
The bump, bump, bumpity, bump of my heart spells the romance. Snap the whip, ring the bell, and this little song will help you on your way.
To the Jingle Bell Polka, it's a really swell polka.
A kiss or two she'll give to you before you even start. With bells around, the happy sound puts Christmas in your heart.
To the Jingle Bell Polka,
you'll be happy every time you hear.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
You'll do the Jingle Bell Polka.
Jingle, jingle bell. Jingle, jingle, jingle bell. Jingle bell, jingle bell. Jingle bell, jingle bell. Do the jingle bell polka. It's a really swell polka.
She'll give to you before you even start. With bells around, the happy sound puts Christmas in your heart.
Do the Jingle Bell Polka.
You'll be happy every time you hear.
You do the Jingle Bell Polka.
That was the Modernaires in person singing the Old Gold Special. The recording will be released shortly. Now, here are Don Amici and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon Is Over. For many years, John Bickerson, victim of a rare type of insomnia, has refused medical aid to alleviate his sleepless condition. Tonight, Mrs. Bickerson has taken matters in her own hands, and 3 o'clock in the morning finds Dr. Hersey at the bedside observing the unfortunate John as he reaches the crisis during an acute attack of his ailment. Listen.
Like being married to a suction pump.
It's amazing.
Oh, that's nothing, Doctor.
Let's step outside a minute, Mrs. Bickerson.
Isn't it awful?
Yes, yes. Well, there isn't really very much you can do about it. He's a mouth breather. Very likely suffering from hen cluck stertor. Does he drink anything?
anything.
Well, it's a pity you only have one bedroom. Call me tomorrow at the office.
Hmm? I will, Doctor. Good night, and thanks for coming.
Good night.
I hope John's quiet. Dr. Hersey's been here.
That's good.
Did you hear what I said, John? Dr. Hersey just left the house. He came over to see what he could do about your snoring. I was going out of my mind.
What's the matter with you, Blanche, huh?
I couldn't help it. Something had to be done, John. Who else could I tell that you've been snoring like a madman for months?
Madman months.
You think it's all a joke? Well, you'll find out when you get the bill.
You mean you actually got the doctor out of bed to come over and listen to me snore?
Well, I wasn't feeling good, and I thought he might just as well kill two birds with one stone.
He could, too.
I was suffering so bad, I thought I'd die.
What was the matter with you?
It was those clams we had tonight. I didn't want to eat them, but you kept insisting. You kept telling me that clams are healthy.
Well, clams are healthy.
They are not.
They are, too. Did you ever hear one complain?
The whole dinner disagreed with me.
It wouldn't dare.
Then you kept me awake all night with your snoring.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I went to bed 3 hours after you did.
I know, but I heard you puttering around in the kitchen, and it disturbed me.
I wasn't puttering. You asked me to fix the radio and the refrigerator, didn't you? Well, I fixed them both.
Do they work?
They work fine. Except the radio gets cold when I turn it on.
I hope you didn't leave a mess in the kitchen.
I didn't leave a mess.
I bet I'll find the kitchen full of empty bourbon bottles when I get up in the morning.
And no bottles.
You must have 50 of them in the hall closet.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand why you're saving them. Why are you so attached to a lot of dead bourbon bottles?
I was with them when they passed away.
Did you close the windows and lock the door?
Yes.
Did you put the cat out?
He never came in.
Well, I think I hear him scratching now. Let him in, John.
What for?
So you can let him out. After he has his milk, I mean.
He's had his milk. I left a quart bottle outside.
How do you expect the cat to drink milk from a bottle?
I put a straw in it. Good night.
Did you water all the wall plants like I asked you to?
No, I forgot.
They haven't had any water for 3 days.
So what?
Do you want everything in the house to dry up?
Not everything, Blanche.
Even make those sly remarks. Heaven forbid that you say anything nice to me.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I don't ask you to tell me that you love me.
Not much, you.
I go out of my way to make myself attractive for you, but it's just a waste of time. It's been years since you paid me a compliment.
Blanche, you're the most charming, gifted, beautiful, and tolerant wife in the whole world.
But you don't love me.
I must love you. Who else would put up with you?
I had more boyfriends than any girl in our crowd. I could have married any 6 of them.
Yep.
I had my pick.
And they had their shovels.
They did not. They were the wealthiest boys in town.
And why did you marry me?
For spite.
Well, what did you have to spite me for?
It wasn't you. It was Louise Shaw. She brought you around, and I knew she had her cap set for you. But I said to myself, before I let her get you, I'll blow up and bust.
You said it, but you didn't do it.
All those promises you made. You were going to give me a life of luxury, 20 servants. You promised to smother me with diamonds. Did I even get one servant? Did you smother me?
Not yet, but give me time.
Go on, threaten me. I don't ask you for any affection. All I want is a little consideration.
Nobody gives you as little consideration as I do. Well, that's not what I meant to say.
That's how you act, though. You're getting unbearable. It'll soon be impossible to live with you.
How soon?
I knew it. I knew it. You want to get rid of me. After I've given you the best years of my life, you want to cast me aside like an old shoe. Turn me out into the street.
Nobody wants to get rid of you.
Let me wander around unwanted. No money, no food. I'll be begging for pennies. The police will pick me up for a vagrancy. They'll let me rot in jail.
Blanche!
Why don't you bail me out, John?
How can you lie there and drive yourself nuts like that? You just want to keep me awake, that's all. Why don't you admit it? Go on, put out the lights. Gee.
John. Sit up. Look at me.
What?
I've been waiting ever since you came home from work to notice it.
Notice what?
Look at me. Don't you see anything different?
Oh, you got different makeup on.
Makeup?
Yeah, it looks very nice. Makes you look healthier.
That's a mud pack. That's not what I'm talking about. It's my hair.
What's the matter with your hair?
I had it dyed. Don't you like it?
Well, take off that orange snood so I can see what color it is.
I'm not wearing a snood. That's the color of my hair. It's the latest style. Burnt orange.
Burnt orange? Why didn't you go and dye your hair for? You look like a Christmas tree. Why didn't you leave it alone?
It was too drab.
It was not. It was nice and mousy. What did that cost?
$15.
$15?
The artist said it would give a nice touch of color to the portrait.
What portrait? Oh, Blanche, don't tell me you went and had your picture painted by some phony artist.
He's not a phony artist. He paints all those lovely signs in the butcher shop.
What did he charge you for, Blanche? How much was it? How much was it?
Don't scream at me.
How can you throw away my hard-earned money on such idiotic things and we don't have enough to eat? I've been shaving with a kitchen knife because I can't afford razor blades. And she has a butcher painter portrait. How much was it?
$200.
Oh.
It's a beautiful painting, and you always told me you wanted to see me done in oil.
I said boiled in oil. I go around with holes in my shoes. I've been pushing my car to work for 3 weeks to save on gas. Why did you do it? You don't see me spending anything on myself, do you?
You had your tooth pulled last week. I'm entitled to a little pleasure, too.
Pleasure?
All right, John, I'll take it back. He said I didn't have to pay him if you didn't like it.
I hate it.
You haven't even seen it.
I don't care. Take it back.
Oh, hush up and go to sleep.
Go to sleep, she says. Burns oranges in her hair. $200 for a picture. Oh, is it any wonder I can't save a penny? Go to sleep, she tells me. I'll never sleep another wink as long as...
John!
Oh, I would have bet on it. The minute I closed my eyes, it'd be...
Ouch!
Hello! Hello!
It's the door.
Oh, fine time to be having visitors. Must be 4 o'clock.
Good morning, Bickerson.
Oh, Dr. Hersey.
I feel terrible about disturbing you, but I left my medical bag here.
Oh, that's all right, Doc. I'll get it. Here.
Thanks. Is Mrs. Bickerson feeling better?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. She's a fine woman, Bickerson. Possibly she's a little nervous at times, but she has a right to be. It's not easy to live with a man who snores like you do.
Mm-hmm.
You're a very lucky man to have found such a devoted mate. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Doctor. Blanche.
Yes, dear?
What a heel I am. I'm just beginning to realize what a selfish, inconsiderate, thoughtless crumb I am.
Oh, you're not so selfish.
You know, you don't get too much pleasure out of life. What if you do have your picture painted? Okay, so I'll work a little harder. Why should I make a fuss about money if you get happiness spending it?
John, do you feel all right?
Well, I feel different, I'll tell you that. From now on, you can have anything you want. You're a wonderful woman. You're too good for me. I love you, Blanche.
Oh, John, that's so sweet. I had a premonition all this was going to happen. I had a dream last night, a wonderful dream. I dreamed that you bought me a gorgeous mink coat.
Blanche, just to show you how much I've changed...
Yes?
I'm going to let you keep it. Good night, Blanche.
Good night, John.
There's something special about an old gold.
Treat yourself to old gold. If you want a treat instead of a treatment, treat yourself to old gold.
You'll notice that Carmen Dragon is always playing a song on this show called The Best Things in Life Are Free. Well, a pack of old golds is not free, but for very, very little, you can enjoy one of the good things in life. 20 wonderful old gold smokes, an exclusive blend of the world's choice tobaccos, product of nearly 200 years association with quality tobaccos. And smokers, no other cigarette in America can match that quality tradition. So want a treat instead of a treatment? Treat yourself to old gold. At tobacco counters, in cigarette vending machines. And ask for the latest in cigarette packaging. The handsome crush-proof pocket 40s put out for your convenience by Old Golds.
Well,
that puts the lid on the ninth program of our new series for Old Gold Cigarettes, written and directed by Phil Rapp and produced by Man Hollander. We hope you'll be on hand next Wednesday night when the Old Gold Special will feature a new and unreleased Columbia recording performed in person by Jane Russell. Meantime, for Frank Morgan, Francis Langford, and Carmen Dragon in the orchestra, this is Don Amici saying good night and good smoking with Old Gold. Frank Morgan is currently appearing with Lana Turner, Van Heflin, Donna Reed, and Richard Hart in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's production of Green Dolphin Street. The Modern Airs appeared through the courtesy of Campbell Soup's Club 15. Remember, next Wednesday at Old Gold Time, it'll be Frank Morgan, Donna Amici, and Francis Langford with Carmen Dragon and his orchestra and the Columbia Record Preview of the Week, the Old Gold Special, starring Jane Russell, presented by the makers of Old Gold Cigarettes, the treasure of them all. Don Amici, co-starred with Claudette Colbert, will soon be seen in their new picture, Sleep My Love. Marvin Miller speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And this is WCBS New York.
Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. Love to hear what you think about the new format for the Bickersons. A little different without Danny Thomas, but still funny. Frank Morgan is a funny guy, and we'll talk about him in the coming weeks. Of course, he's best well known for Wizard of Oz and playing the Wizard in the Wizard of Oz. But like I said, we'll talk more about him in the coming weeks. Come back next Monday for another episode of The Bickersons and check in on Wednesday for the next installment of The Bob Hope Show. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com. Click on that Become a Patron button and check out the different levels that there are of supporting our show on a monthly basis and the neat gifts that you can receive by doing just that. Or if you'd simply like to support our show on a single-time basis, you can click on the donate button and donate through PayPal. Either way, thank you for keeping our show on the air. Until next time, in the words of Mary Higgins Clark, a writer writes to be read.